So there was this lizard on the hood of my car. As I'm driving, he pops his little head up, and little tiny thing, if you're watching the laundry cam, about this big, cute as can be. Now there are so many different varieties of lizards down here, but I love them all. They're very interesting. There are big things to iguanas, and we have just all kinds of crazy life, that's what I like about this place. So anyway, obviously I'm starting this show on Babylon with another anecdote for you folks out there, entertaining you and myself at the same time. So I'm driving and I'm going faster and faster, and this thing's starting to strain the poor little lizard. I can see the little hair of the hair coming out of his ears blowing back. He's going to fall off pretty soon. So I'm actually going slower, and he's running around my hood, running around. I think I have to save this thing. So I'm heading down 9th Street and I pull off on a side road, and I said, I'll just kind of flick him off. So I stop my car, I get out. And by this time, he's down around the headlights, and he jumps off himself. I said, what a smart lizard, rescues himself. I stopped, so, you know, I facilitated his escape. 2 seconds later, a bird came running up from across the street and ate the lizard. Ate him. Yeah. So, my great efforts to save the lizard turned out to be an unwitting effort to save the bird. I saved the bird possibly from starvation, thinking I was doing something else. Now, there are divine lessons here, and I'll let you figure them out. The least of which would be, we do our thing, and we trust God, and we do our best, but the outcomes of our actions aren't necessarily, and usually aren't, those outcomes which we have in mind. There are different outcomes. However, we still had to pursue the course, didn't we? I think immediately of Abraham produces an Ishmael. This is not the son of the promise, but Abraham was waiting years to have a son, a promised son. Nothing happened. Maybe I'm supposed to have sex with Sarah's handmaid. Sounds reasonable. So he broached the subject with Sarah one night. I'd like to know how that conversation started. That was a common thing back then, really, no biggie. And so he produces a son according to the flesh. That was a mistake. On the other hand, it wasn't a mistake. It was a necessary prelude for God to show what he can do. So Abraham thought he was saving a lizard, ends up rescuing a bird. Kind of, sort of, from starvation, you see. And I've told God this in the past. I hope this is helpful to you. I have told God, look, I'm willing to produce an Ishmael. I mean, I'm going to do what I think is the right thing. I'm going to try to stay on the right track. And I'll save my share of lizards, to using that now as a analogy. I'll try. And if that's not the right thing, then look, you take my raw material of failure, you take my raw material of misguided action, and you turn it into an Isaac. But in the meantime, I'm just going to act. I'm going to do what I think I'm supposed to do. Stop the car, save the lizard. Ooh, provided a meal for a bird. Okay, well, I didn't know I was doing that, but that was your intention for me all along. Never mind what I was thinking about it. Revelation, chapter 17, verse 13. Let's back up to verse 12, get the context again. And the 10 horns which you perceived are 10 kings who obtained no kingdom as yet. Not to worry, though, but are obtaining authority as kings 1 hour with the wild beast. These have one opinion, that's the miracle. And they are giving their power and authority to the wild beast. That's a mistake. Just like me stopping for that lizard was, relatively speaking, a mistake for the lizard, fulfilled the needs of the bird. These will be battling with the lambkin, and the lambkin will be conquering them. I love how God says what's going to happen before it happens. This stuff hasn't happened yet. Don't listen to the preterists. These will be battling with the lambkin, and the lambkin will be conquering them. It reminds me when my kids were small. I'll never forget, I told my middle son, Luke, one time. I said, Luke, He was probably 6 or 7 years old. I said, Luke, you're going to bed at 9 o'clock tonight. And he said, how can you tell? It's like, well, you got a crystal ball, Dad? How can you tell I'm going to bed at 9? Because I have authority over you. And I'm sending you to bed at 9. See, that makes me laugh as I think back. You're going to bed at 9 o'clock, Luke. How can you tell? I'm going to make it happen. So, same thing here. These will be battling with the Lambkin. That is, the kings of the earth. How can you tell? This is God. Of course, we're asking God, how can you tell they're going to be battling? Or the battling parties here, the 10 kings, if you were to tell them, you're going to be battling with the Lambkin in about an hour. How can you tell? Because you have a God over you of whom you are not aware. You're unconscious of his control over you. But that does not hinder him in the least. In fact, it probably facilitates him doing what he wants. But as we saw from my anecdote, not even a contrary action or something that's supposed to be or proposed as in the mind, a contrary action can stay the hand of God, because he'll just take what you're doing according to your plan and your good pleasure, and he'll just turn it around, simple as can be. I mean, 2 seconds, that lizard hit the ground, and it wasn't even 2 seconds. Probably 1 second. And out of the corner of my eye, here comes the bird, chases that thing down, gobbles it up in one bite. So it's no problem for God. They will be battling the Lambkin, and the Lambkin will be conquering them. How can you tell? Oh, boy. Same with any of the players in the crucifixion of our Lord. Oh, here it is. Jesus to Peter, before the cock crows 3 times, you will be denying me. Before the cock crows, you'll be denying me 3 times. You will be. Same language here. The Lambkin will be conquering them. They will be battling with the Lambkin. You will be denying me. Now, of course, if Peter had an iPhone, he would have taken the iPhone, as I'm doing here, taking the iPhone. It's like, this was a gift, by the way. Somebody gave me this iPhone. Can you believe it? I mean, I have an iPhone. It's like, kidding me. Anyway, so there would be Peter saying the same thing. Can you believe me, a fisherman from Galilee? I have an iPhone. Jesus gave me this. I'm telling you the same thing. Peter says, make a note of this, okay? And he'd set his alarm. And he says, okay, let's see. The roosters crow about, 5 a.m. or whatever. So I'm going to set my alarm for 5 a.m. to remind me. Because in my mind, I'm going to say, no, no way. You're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster comes. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to resist prophecy. I'm going to resist the intention of God that was formed, calculated, and guaranteed before the disruption of the world. And in order to accomplish that, I'm going to set my alarm on my iPhone. And I'm going to be conscious the whole time. I'm just not going to let this happen. Not going to let this happen. So, you know the story. What happens? Peter gets into a situation as he's warming himself by a fire early that morning. The next morning, before dawn, gets himself into a situation where he loses his mind. He's under extreme pressure because people are pushing him now. There's a maiden there, and she says, I saw you with that man. What are you talking about? Okay, already, his iPhone could be in his back pocket, and if that alarm goes off, he's under such intense pressure, not to mention the soldier then. Here's the conversation with the maiden, and he says, yeah, I saw you with that man too. So Peter, suddenly his life is at stake because he's going to be arrested if he's an accomplice. Perhaps Peter was going to drive the getaway car, but he's an accomplice. So all of a sudden, even if his iPhone goes off in his little fishing satchel, he is not answering it because he's suddenly out of his mind right now. All he's thinking about is self-preservation. And without even knowing what he's doing, I don't care how much you concentrate. I'm not telling you not to concentrate and try to do things right. I'm saying, yes, you should. But those of you who think, for instance, that if you pray for something and you pray hard for something, you really want something to happen, and then if it happens and it turns out to be a disaster, you blame yourself because, well, God was obligated to answer my prayer. It was such a good prayer. I mean, I was in a prayer circle. I was concentrating so much. I was so sincere in my mind. I knew exactly what I wanted, and I told God in such somber terms. My God was helpless against this prayer. Helpless. He had to give me what I wanted, and now look, I've ruined my life. Oh my God, are you kidding me? Give yourself a little break. You're not that powerful, okay? You're not that powerful. You're not derailing any of God's plans. Because God can easily change whatever you think you're doing. Look what he did with Peter. Instantly put him in a situation for 5 minutes. It was a pressure-filled 5-minute situation that preceded the crowing of the cock by 5 minutes, 2 seconds. I mean, as soon as it was done, that was a more intrusive sound in Peter's little world than his little iPhone going off. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're not, quit it. Honestly, you're not that powerful. Your prayers just aren't that good. And even if they were great, if we ask according to his will, he is hearing us. 1 John 5:14. And if it's according to God's will, it will happen. If it's not according to God's will, it won't happen. Nothing you do, no matter how sincere, nothing you do, no matter how zealously misguided, is going to change God's plans. These kings, it's always amazed me that these people, like during the crucifixion, they were alive while prophecy was being fulfilled. So I thought, well, all they have to do is look in the Bible, find out what's going to happen, and then not do it. And they'd be like, to God, you know, like, nah, you wanted us to kill the Messiah, and we didn't. So, well, they're going to, no matter what, because they're ignorant. They could be staring at the book and trying to say, okay, today we're going to make sure this prophecy doesn't come true. So these 10 kings, they're looking at this, and there's one of them who has the scriptures. It says here that I'm going to give my kingdom to the wild beast. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Well, something's going to happen that this guy, this king, who for some reason happens to be plugged into the fact that I'm being written about in the Bible. My name's Joe, and I'm a king in the year 2021, and I'm prophesied about in the scripture. But my overriding opinion here is that the people, the players on this field, on this stage, are not even going to know that they're being written about in the scripture because they don't care about the scripture. But my point is, even if they did, and even if they set themselves like steel to not do what God says they're going to do, they're going to do it. Something's going to happen, and the prophecy will come to pass no matter how hard you try to resist it. I don't know about you, but I do know about most of you because I know many of you. This is extremely comforting to me that no matter how good I pray, and, oh, I'm Martin Zender, my prayers are powerful, I'm a righteous man, I'm not going to make God go off his script. And it's God's script that counts here, not mine. And it does help. It's nice if you add at the end of your prayers, yet not my will, but thine be done. I recommend it highly to everyone, but even if you don't pray that, his will is going to be done anyway. Just nice to cooperate. Kind of, you know, touch the steering wheel of God's car. He lets us do that, like my dad used to do when I was a kid. Here, kid, touch the steering wheel while I'm driving. And, of course, as a kid,
I'm driving.
Your dad's going, no, it's got to be funny for parents. It is. I was a parent. I did that with my kids. Touch the steering wheel. You're going to touch the steering wheel.
How can you tell?